This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. In Kalamazoo's literary community, poet Tracy Brimhall is well known and much loved. She earned her Ph.D. at Western Michigan University, and she's taught many classes and workshops on poetry in the region. Brimhall is the author of Our Lady of the Ruins, the winner of the 2011 Barnhart Women Poets Prize, and Rookery, which won the 2009 Crab Orchard Series in Poetry First Book Award. She's received fellowships from the Wisconsin Institute for Creative Writing and the National Endowment for the Arts. Brimhall now teaches at Kansas State University. We began our conversation with Brimhall reading her poem, Gnostic Fugue.
Gnostic Fugue. A prophet says you will be resurrected and then you will die. The villagers' lost children are found in the city, flies laying eggs in the nests of their ears. After the burial, two soldiers make love against the wall between the old ruin and the new. But this is their rapture, not yours. You are the doubter and the doubt, worshiping a book you can't read. The awful quiet in your heart is not the peace you were promised, not the trembling hush before a revelation, not the prelude to an earthquake, not God's silence, but his breathlessness.
Thank you, Tracy. And you're coming back to Kalamazoo, thank goodness, to participate in the Frostic series. And can you give us a little teaser about what are we going to hear from you?
Well, I know that when I was there in Kalamazoo for 4.5 years, lots of people might have become familiar with my first two books, and certainly Bill Olson and Nancy Imers and Deneen Wardrop, who are on my dissertation committee, are very familiar with that work, in addition to all the other students and poetry community members in Kalamazoo who helped me work on those poems. So I thought I would be bold and do something I never do, which is to read brand spanking new work when I come back.
You don't usually do that? You let it marinate, or?
I like to read things that have already been published, that I've practiced reading aloud, that I feel comfortable reading, because then I can enjoy the experience of it and enjoy the words rather than being terrified. And one of the scariest things in the world, I think, is to read in front of people you know. You can put me in a room with 10,000 strangers, I'll be fine. But 10 people I know, and it's paralyzing.
Well, it shouldn't be, Tracy. You're much loved in this community.
Well, and I love everyone there. And so because everybody might be overfamiliar with other things, I always like to do something brave with poems. I like to be brave when I sit down to write, and occasionally I will get brave and do something different at a reading, which is what I hope to do when I return to Kalamazoo.
Well, that's enticing. And I think writing in general, and I don't know if poetry more than prose, but writing in general takes courage, doesn't it?
Maybe not always. Maybe people get good enough to be proficient and get praised for being proficient and get complimented, and we all like to be complimented, and stick to the more familiar streets because it's validating. And I think it takes something else to continue to be brave and to continue to want to be honest. Recently, I started a Google group for people who just wanted to write one brave poem a month. And we would just share with each other the bravest thing we could think to say. Sometimes it's the only poem I get to write all month. But I like to return to that place of, what's the scariest thing I can say? What's the scariest way I could say it, and try to confront something in myself and or something in the world when I sit down to write.
Well, you're kind of setting yourself up for this, Tracy. What is the scariest thing you can say?
Gosh, I mean, I think it changes every month, or it changes all the time. Maybe it changes daily. There are things you don't want to admit that aren't popular or kind to say about yourself, or that aren't good to say about the way you feel about your family or about your spouse or about what you do for a living or about all sorts of things. There could be things that you don't want to have to confront or admit. The bravest poem I wrote most recently dealt with my mother's death and certain unattractive things I felt, like relief at her passing. that aren't popular to say, and they don't reflect well upon me that I could feel such a thing at such a horrible time.
Yet haven't you found that when you expose yourself like that, when you put your raw emotions out like that, I'm going to guess that those are the times that your readers identify with you the most.
I think so, but I also think I look terrible for it sometimes. I've had people accuse me of lying or like, people aren't like that.
Oh, but they are.
More comfortable not digging down or admitting to those things. And I also don't want the only power in the poem to come from the revelation itself. I want the way words sit next to each other to be powerful, it to create an emotion besides voyeuristic pleasure.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm speaking with poet Tracy Brimhall. While she enjoys much success now, Brimhall remembers a time when her writing career was punctuated by failure.
I think I thought I was more of a storyteller and more of a fiction writer, and I still very much see a storytelling impulse in my poems. But I was lucky enough to have one of those great experiences in college where I had an excellent teacher named Ginny Grimsley at Florida State, who just showed me how to light my own fire and how to feed myself and how to love something profoundly. And I sort of fell away from poetry after undergraduate and, you know, got a job and lived my life. And it took a while for me to come back to that. And I was working at a Shakespeare theater at the time, and one of the actors would leave books of poetry in my work mailbox. So while the actors were performing on stage, I would be reading Rilke out in the lobby. And so that was one of the other ways that brought me back. But there have also been, and I think it's really important to know this, but lots of people who didn't believe in me. There was one teacher I had who told me I was untalented and I should throw away all of my poems.
Wow, there are still people like that out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
that's amazing.
When reading a biography, people can think that it's just been this easy ascent, or I just sit down and the muse sits on my shoulder and I write something great and somebody publishes it. And it's just been, it's so much harder and more fraught than that. And for every publication that's like listed on a resume, there were dozens of rejections. And I didn't get into grad school my first time, and I've been rejected by so many other fellowships. I've been turned down for books. I've been turned down for all sorts of things. It took me 2 years on the job market to get my job. It's just been a really, really, really long string of failures, and all of a biography is very tricky because it just strings the highlights together and doesn't show all of the hours of self-doubt and tears and frustration and feeling like it's not worth it or that you'll never write a good poem again.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with poet Tracy Brimhall. She'll be one of the writers reading from their work in Western Michigan University's Gwen Frostick series. Brimhall's reading is on Thursday, November 19 at 8 p.m. at the Bernhard Center. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.